Pardon my French, but I don't speak French.
Don't even do it. Don't even do it.
What is with the animals lately? Is it the moon? Do we have this like weird moon thing going on? Like maybe. It's got, because my animals are acting like animals as well. And I don't mean my jiu-jitsu animals. I mean my regular animals. My non-jiu-jitsu animals.
The animals in which you own.
I own them. It does sound, it's a little.
You have dominion over them.
I have. Well said.
I've had dogs and cats that have, like, again, scratched stuff up. They pee on stuff. They poop somewhere. Something like that, which is terrible already. It's very disrespectful for somebody to do that. I know you're an animal. She's going to go do that. And it's gonna happen live on the show. And I'm gonna lose my shit.
But I hope it doesn't happen.
Like, they don't fear me.
Well, let me break it down for you like this, Pat. And that is when my dog. So,
yeah,
first of all, update. No, don't. Why? Sorry.
No.
We're commiserating.
Well, I started by asking you about your dog's crazy.
So, just so we're clear, okay, we have three dogs in our house. We have a very old pug mix, and his name's Bo Cephas. And Bo is like 15. So, okay. When we got Louie, who's our cattle dog, and then our German Shepherd got put down, our cattle dog was just a puppy at that point, and he grew into a cattle dog.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And so he really likes to play. He likes to play. He wants to play pals, and he wants to wrestle and stuff like that. And Bo just couldn't. He just, when they get older, dogs and cats too just don't communicate
like,
well.
Yeah, and their hips. I mean, like literally,
yeah,
they're just, old. Like,
they're old. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they become old, yeah. Cranky. Like cats, yeah. And dogs. Well, dogs aren't as cranky usually, but cats get really cranky,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
like
they get cranky. Yeah. Right. So and Bo is definitely a cranky old man, and we just want him to live his best life in the years that he has left. Just let him enjoy it. So anyway, we got another dog,
right.
A puppy, which we thought, by the way, was a pit bull border collie mix. Turns out we're wrong.
It's a coyote.
No, but my cattle dog is part dingo.
Oh, really?
Like a legitimately cattle dog.
What is that, the one that ate the birth certificate?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, ate your fucking baby.
So we have, so we have Louie, that's cattle dog.
Yeah.
We got Bo, that's the pug. And then we have Zoe, and she is a she's a pit bull Great Dane mix.
Oh
fuck.
That's weird.
Yeah.
How did that work? So is it more Great Dane than
Pitbull?
Pitbull?
It's literally like, looks like a 50-50 mix, but she is an idiot.
Okay.
And
of course.
And she ate she dug up the Wi-Fi cable and ate it.
That's that
okay.
One, yeah.
And so that, it was like, so I've had Wi-Fi issues for weeks, which is now rectified.
That is the weirdest. I had a dog, one dog in my lifetime for the family. And it was Tasha. She was a German Shepherd Chow mix.
Okay.
And actually very sweet, even though those breeds can be a little, can be aggressive, but like even a Chow, even if you're nice, they're still kind of dicks.
Yeah.
Super sweet dog, ate everything. And I thought this was the weirdest things I've ever heard a dog eat. Like,
yeah,
obviously food, whatever. It ate a $20 bill that my mom put out waiting for the pizza guy, and she blamed all the kids.
Oh, right. This would have been a good one.
It's not fucking us. It's fucking. We didn't know.
Right.
But the dog ate like half of it and hid the other half, always under my brother's pillow. Also ate half a carton of cigarettes, Austin Light 100s. And hid them under my brother's pillow.
This is awesome.
Ate a whole bottle of my mom's antidepressants. a whole prescription. Which, by the way, my mom was pissed about.
I'll bet.
Her antidepressant, her happy pills, she called them.
Yeah.
And also, this is obviously not the weirdest, but was a bag of Easter football candies. You know, the little Easter eggs?
Yeah.
A whole thing of those. She was shitting tinfoil for months. Months, it felt like. She was like, you're like, go out to pick up, and you're like, oh, a little bit of a little shine in there. She had the shine in her. Tasha, shout out to Tasha. We took her to the vet for all of those things, and every time they're like,
I mean, what do you, you're right, there's nothing to do.
Well, they're like, she's okay.
Yeah, she seems fine. Yeah.
But the antidepressants, she was like, they're like, I guess we should try to pump her stomach, but she was just really happy.
She's just like, this maybe is cool. We should all try and take a whole bottle.
Maybe
of
we should give her a Miller Lite.
Yeah, wash it down. Get her a depressant.
Yeah.
Bring her down off of this.
But the Fios, cable or the internet cable is the weirdest thing until this morning when you told me.
Well, then last night she also because what'll happen is she'll grab something. Louis eats everything too. He's got an iron gut until his stomach fills with like whatever fabric he ate, and then he'll throw it up. But it comes out like in like a turd shape of a like whatever. And so, but he's got an iron gut, but Zoe does not have an iron gut. So, like, the wind blows wrong and she's got the shits and doesn't feel great. But she eats everything. So, what they'll do is they'll get a piece of paper and then they fight over it. They'll, like, tear at it. And they were doing it last night. I mean, obviously, this is as soon as I sit down and I'm like, what do you guys have? And I look and I'm like, the fuck is that? And I'm like, is this. It was my son's birth certificate.
It says legal documents?
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, first of all, I was like, why is his birth certificate out? Like, what happened? No.
Yeah, that's the weirdest thing.
Nobody knows why. Yeah, but she somehow found his birth certificate, and they just tore it to shreds.
Yeah, that is... And it's,
fucking dogs, man. Today is, by the way, Friday the 13th.
Yeah, welcome. Friday the 13th. Doesn't happen often. And it's in October. Spooky season.
It is spooky season. So I don't know what's going on. You know, don't follow moon cycles or any of that shit. But, I mean, if there might be something to it here. All of our animals are acting insane.
People may be acting insane. Maybe it's just everything.
Yeah. By the way, we're going to talk about today's topic is and it'll be brief because I just have a few things to say about it. But I have a creepy story for you.
Oh,
should we save the creepy story or should I tell it to you now?
Yeah, I want to know. Okay, so if we're doing creepy stories, I want
it is October. It is October and spooky season. Yeah. So we should probably first of all. Knows what'll happen next if we're going to get another podcast out ever.
Yeah.
So we might as well tell spooky stories.
Time is fleeting, Jeff. Let's enjoy this spooky season.
Let's enjoy it. Maybe we'll save the topic for next time.
Look who it is.
Who knows? Speaking of which,
yeah.
Creepy thing happened to me last week. All right. Last week, it was very. Do you guys remember here in Pennsylvania? It was very foggy out. One of the mornings here recently.
Yeah, actually, yeah, it was a Tuesday.
It was last Tuesday.
Morning. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so last Tuesday, not this Tuesday, but the Tuesday before, it was very foggy out. Okay, not a big deal. Fog happens.
You know, that's true. That's what they say.
It happens. So, and I got in my car to leave, and something just felt weird. In the morning, like, and I can't remember now, cause something else occurred, but it was like, with the dogs or something in the morning. It was weird. I had this weird feeling, and I got in my car and I drove out of my neighborhood, and right next to my neighborhood is the kids' elementary school in the ninth grade building where my son goes to school, and also where I skate. They've got the best curbs. Nice. Anyway, so
Jeff loves a curb.
I love a curb, man. Boy, do I love a curb. Is it hot in here?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so anyway, I'm pulling out of the neighborhood and going up the road, which is Skyport Road, if you guys are from the area and you're familiar with it. And in front of me crossing the street, originally I thought was a deer. Now, this is not unusual, but directly across from the school is another neighborhood normally when you see deer, they're not traipsing through neighborhoods.
Right.
It happens.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen it happen. And but as I it was foggy, so like I could see it, and it definitely at first looked like a deer, but its legs were extra long, as in it didn't look like a deer anymore. And I was like, what the fuck is that thing?
Yeah.
And it wasn't moving particularly fast. It was like super slow, like crawling
like
across
a dolly painting.
Yeah, yeah. It was a Salvador
like
dolly painting. Yeah.
That's what I'm envisioning.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was really weird. And then, you know, part of me, I don't you know, trying to get like too wrapped up in my own head about these things, but I'm like, the fuck was that?
When you experience
something... It walked into the neighborhood, by the way.
Okay, yeah.
It just walked into the neighborhood.
Like you just, so you, so...
And I had a choice to make at that point.
To follow it or to...
Get to class.
Yeah.
I chose you guys.
You fucking coward. You gotta go choke the thing out and show us.
Yeah, yeah.
We want to see it.
Part of me felt like I should. Like, yeah. There was a curiosity to it and a terror all at the same time because it did not look like... It didn't look like a deer.
Yeah.
But it did.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I was like, well, did the light and the fog distort its proportions?
To me, the cryptid is the most believable of all the paranormal stories.
Okay.
Of the most provable, let's say. Stanley. Brother.
I mean, every podcast,
let's
it's
not
Stanley.
Do this, buddy. I pet you. So he acts like I don't fucking pet this cat. And like, I'm usually covered in his fur.
And this is the problem with it.
Exactly.
Right.
He's privileged. Cryptids are the thing because it's just animals. Like, so one of my favorite, I've always loved animals. I used to, whether it be from when I was a child and I was subscribing to zoo books.
Yeah.
The only animal I truly despise is the grasshopper. I'll never like it.
Right.
I
you've hate mentioned them. This. There's a certain level of terror.
There's pure terror.
Connected to.
Pure terror.
Pure.
Jeff. I don't like terror. Them. So one right. of my favorite animals at the moment, species, I guess, in general, is the cephalopod.
Okay.
So the giant squid was just discovered to be 100% real right. and actual existence, not just speculation.
Right.
Like in the 2000s. I believe it was 2014?
I couldn't tell you, but I do recall. Remember. I remember when they found it.
It was incredible.
It is incredible.
So that's essentially something that is of old legend that you see people and you're like, oh. So what's to say any of the other shit they're drawing doesn't exist?
True.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
what? Why would they lie? What the fuck? They don't. What are they lying about? You know
right.
what I'm saying? Like, they're just
right.
like, there's. I saw a giant squid fighting a goddamn whale. and after a while, you find out there's evidence. So, like, whatever that species of deer is, it's like, whether it be. All right, Jeff. If we're going to spooky season.
Yeah.
I think you possibly could have seen a skinwalker. Are you familiar with
skinwalkers? I am familiar with a skinwalker.
I think you saw a skinwalker.
See? Okay, so.
I'm so glad.
Now listen.
I'm so glad you've heard of them.
I have heard of the skinwalker. Now listen, here's something else that will add to the mythos of this entire or the mythos of this entire story, and that is I tell my wife, who by the way is the world's biggest skeptic on the planet.
I like, love that.
Biggest skeptic.
I want to go ghost hunting with your wife.
Yeah,
by the way.
She's
that would
like,
be so much fun.
This bullshit,
yeah, yeah.
right?
Yeah, and I'm just like, but did you hear that? It tapped twice.
She's like, yeah, and
it's
it was
a pigeon.
And it was bullshit.
It's a fucking bird. I can see it.
So I tell her about this because I'm like, it was just a weird experience. And she said, she's like, oh, that reminds me, it must have grown up is what she said. And I said, what? She's like, yeah, my eldest son, Victor, and she had seen a creature like that, much smaller, on the road one morning crossing the street. And they couldn't figure out what it was. And they're like, is it a fox?
Yeah.
Is it a dog? Is it a, like, what? Is it a cat?
Yeah.
Like a larger cat, like a bobcat or something? They couldn't figure out what it was. And she said, it must be that same creature like that grew up. And so,
How long was that?
It was 2 years ago.
Damn. So yeah. What is this connection with this? This is like your family's Patronus.
Yeah, it must be.
This is
the skinwalker.
This particular, well, or it, that's like what, so again, for anybody that's not familiar, a quick synopsis of what the skinwalker is. It's actually old, I believe, Native American. First Nation or.
Yeah.
Indigenous people's legend of I believe it was a tribe of people,
right,
that were able to form into animals, like they were people, person animal hybrids essentially.
Okay.
Each one of them were able to turn into, they could mimic things. So a lot of a lane on the internet that I enjoy with a lot of the mysterious and the spooky that I like to watch.
Right.
Shout out to Nuke's Top 5 and as well Slapped Ham. Check
Ooh,
them both out on
okay.
YouTube.
Okay, yeah, gotcha.
They don't need my help, trust me.
Yeah, yeah.
But they do lots of lists and some of the most compelling shit that I've seen and some of the weirdest stuff that would be hard to like I don't know. It's very simple. And a lot of times he'll say there are skinwalker videos that are like people that like they're filming. There's one that's very weird looking. That's like a dog walking and all, and they're just got, like, guys from a train just kind of filming a thing. Lots of shit happens from a train, by the way. The most recent.
Oh, really?
There's recent Bigfoot footage. It's so funny that you brought cryptids up, or I did.
I mean,
it's funny that I brought it up, Jeff, because there was recent footage of I'll include it in the video of Bigfoot from a couple on a train in Colorado.
Okay.
And they're going through, and they're like, oh, what is that? And they're like, what the fuck is that? And they start filming because it's going really slow. It's out in the distance a little bit. But it looks like, in all honesty, Bigfoot walking through a field and then squatting down and taking a shit. or resting. And it kind of looks like he's trying to look like a mound of hay or something like that, trying to blend in. But so in these videos, the video of the skinwalker that I've seen on one of these things is like a dog walking, and it like kind of like forms and it changes into a person crawling. Maybe they're very, very good at editing.
Possibly.
Maybe this is an elaborate thing where, and that's what I love about Slapped Ham, is it real or is it just an elaborate hoax? You decide.
They put it back on you.
Yeah, it's just kind of like one of those things of like, yes, if somebody were to, and that's how I view it a lot of times. So I'll watch this stuff as somebody who wants to believe, but truly skeptical, like, oh yeah, you also want people to come to your channel or something like that.
Sure, of course.
So, but the weirdest, most compelling shit that I'm like, I don't know how you can fake that, has been skinwalker shit. It's always been skinwalker stuff where I'm like, I don't know, it's not.
This is incredible. Can you guys? I don't know if everyone can hear this on the podcast.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that picked up on the headphones. I was like, are we being abducted right now?
That is bass.
That's crazy.
Someone just drove by. I mean, the bass was so loud it was shaking the entire house.
That was nuts.
That's pretty dope.
But
I feel bad for his hearing, by the way.
but that's the stuff that I always feel is most like it looks the most compelling. It has the most, to me, legitimacy as far as like,
sure,
it's weird shape-shifting people,
yeah, like pretty fucking weird
that have apparently been spoken about for centuries,
right? I like to leave the door open. I'm a skeptic as well. I used to be a big, like, I used to believe in all that shit, like hauntings and, you know, the supernatural and all this, and it was interesting because as soon as I was like, I don't know that I'm buying this, all of it stopped.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and so, like, you know, but I like to leave the door open because I like the idea that there are so many things that are unexplained in the world, and that we just can't. I've seen some pretty weird shit in my life that I cannot explain.
Yeah.
And because there's, you know, and it's always funny because at those moments, it's like, it's as if I just don't have I don't have a camera available to snap it. And sometimes it's happening at a time where I'm like, I'm so like trying to confused to like what's going on that I don't think to even, take a picture of it or
you're
try
literally
and capture
just witnessing it.
Yeah. And then you try and explain it, and that's impossible too.
I think there's something about it to be present enough in that moment to like, because you witnessed it, like that's the thing, is it, you didn't like glance over and go like, what was that? Like, you know, like there's sometimes where if people
not
don't,
this one
that don't have like that, you know what you should do,
what's that,
dash cam?
Well, that's just it though, right? Like I say, it makes sense to have a dash cam perhaps, but then
especially if it's like it's in your area.
I can't tell you though how put off I am by having to manage other technology.
Okay, I can see that. Trust me, Jeff, if you've ever heard me in here screaming at all of this.
Yeah. I mean, it's like nothing says you're old. Like, I'm like, just not another piece of technology.
I would love if everybody that watched or listened to this would just buy a ticket every week and we could just do this live in front of them.
So since we're not doing a main topic except for spooky shit today, do you have any spooky stories for us?
I can't remember if I've ever told you. No, I can't remember if I've ever told you the story or not, but I had.
We did this last year too, by the way. So I'll tell you if it was the same.
So I know I've had the story where I heard what I believed to be my grandmother in the other room. I think that's the one I told.
Yeah, you told that one. Yeah.
So that.
That was a good one.
So interesting story about that same room.
Okay.
Because I wasn't sure exactly what this was at the time.
Right.
So I was probably five, five or six. I was young, very young.
Okay.
Because I was also at the time still, we were living in Florida, and we were, me and my two brothers, my two older brothers, were sharing a room.
Okay.
So I remember it was one night, and also our house did not have central heat and air. I know you guys are used to that here, but that's fucking crazy in Florida. It's nuts. And it happened a lot.
Sure, right.
But we had one wall banger, one air conditioner in the living room.
I like that you called it a wall banger.
That's what we used to call it. That's what I thought they were called. Wall banger.
Until you were like 32.
Yeah, until like yesterday. But we had one in the living room. And when we wanted to try to cool the house down, it was, I don't, this is crazy to think that this one thing could cool the whole house down.
We had one too, though, when I was growing up in the rancher that we grew up.
Yeah,
it was a massive piece of equipment that like stuck, like was through the wall.
Bang the wall.
Yeah, bang the wall. Yeah.
And then we would try. So a lot of times it would be like, I would be hot in my bed and I can't sleep when I'm hot. Like even then,
me
now,
too. I'm the same way. I like cool sleeping.
I need to be cold.
Yeah.
So I would crawl and sleep on the floor a lot. So I remember, it's not weird in that case because it's literally, that's just science. You're trying to get where the air is colder.
Right.
Or I would sleep in the hallway of the doorway and near the hallway trying to get some of that
cold air
from the living room.
Right.
So I just remember one night waking up, but like I'm conscious. I'm awake and I'm sweating a lot. But I'm like hearing what I can, like, it's like I'm wearing headphones.
Okay.
And I'm listening to like an emergency room.
Okay.
Like an emergency room and they're working on somebody.
So, okay. Lots of like
beeping,
lots of, yeah,
panic.
Beeping. Panic.
And not like.
But you can feel the tension.
I can feel all of it. Right. And I can hear beeping and I can hear like panic and I can hear like it's like crazy. And I'm like, at first it's very surreal. Like I thought I was dreaming, but I'm not dreaming.
Okay.
I can very, this is one of the most vivid memories of it I have. And I remember waking up and I remember going like looking around the room and I can see my brother sleeping. I can see my other brother and they're just sleeping. Like I'm like, how are they not, this is crazy loud. How are they not hearing this?
Okay.
I'm just like, look, I don't wake them up. I don't know why. That's the craziest thing. I don't know why I didn't feel like I needed, because I was like terrified.
Right.
I had no idea how to explain
to
somebody
exactly
what was happening.
Right.
So it's just like, I'm like looking around and I'm just like, and I'm panicking and I'm trying to cover my ears and I can't.
Because
like
it's inside. It's
in my
head.
It's
right.
Like, and I'm just like, and I can just hear like panic and panic and panic and just like, and like eventually it just kind of dissipates.
Okay.
And I'm like, I think I fell asleep on the floor like this with my ear like balled up and on the floor. And like I just kind of woke up and went to bed, and I didn't tell anybody about it.
Okay.
Until like, and that has been like one of the most this is the strangest. Like I've thought, what could that be? Was that, could that have been a not a lucid dream, but a a night terror?
Oh right, because like you were suffering.
But I didn't see anything.
Right.
I was here. I was on this plane, but it's like my hearing or my consciousness was somewhere else completely.
Right.
Not even dreaming. Like I wasn't even there.
No,
I was hearing that room. It was like I was in that room.
Exactly.
It was crazy. It was like I was remote hearing a room. I don't know. I wish I knew the date so I could like. Is like, did a family member pass away at that time?
Right.
Was it like, I had no, so it was just one of those things where I was just like, and I just, as a child dealing with as much trauma that I've had, you're just kind of like, I don't know what that, and that's what another thing I was like, is that like a manifestation of like that is like a
like
stress
anxiety,
thing?
Stress,
like literally
trauma,
I've tried to answer this since that happened, just like that. And that was the same room that my grandmother's, that experience happened where she was, where I assume the spirit of my grandmother was whapping at the wind chimes months and months after she had passed away in that room.
Right.
So same, I don't know. The thing that happened to me happened years and years, like way, probably 10, I would actually say probably 11 years before she even moved into that room.
Right.
So.
Right. Very strange.
Very strange.
So we have this, like, there's the... So I'm not a religious person, mm-hmm. as you're aware. and maybe our listeners aren't aware, I'm not religious at all. And so, in fact, in some respects, I start to fall into the side of anti-theism. Yeah. So at any rate,
I agree. Yeah, yeah.
I try to keep my own personal and political views and so on and so forth. I don't either.
But like, I definitely judge.
If that's but I'm definitely judging you. No, I'm not judging you. If that's something that makes your life more fulfilling right. and whole, then I'm like, good on you, right? Because I always start with the do no harm, right?
Exactly.
You do no harm, like you're cool with me. Like you can think, believe whatever you want.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
So, because this is America, goddamn
it. Goddamn right.
And that's freedom.
That's what we do here.
And then we simulate right. the eagle cry with the sound of a red-tailed hawk, because eagles actually sound like a bunch of crybabies.
Yeah, they sound like...
so...
they fuck weird, too. Eagles yeah. are weird. I don't know why that's...
Speaking of the paranormal,
yeah,
the supernatural.
Have you ever seen eagles fuck? Crazy.
let me tell you something. So, you know, so that being said, I think it's... I mean, and again, from a scientific perspective, we can say as definitively that energy can neither be created nor destroyed.
Right, exactly.
And so, like, again, I always leave that door open. So with that understanding, and with the understanding on top of that, that we know so little about what happens,
yeah.
not only here physically on this plane for our species and existence as humans, and for the small amount of time that we're here on this mm-hmm. planet, never mind the entire universe.
Yeah. All the other energy.
Yeah. Is it possible that like other energy and that was neither created nor destroyed collides with our own, which right. is exactly the same thing as when that energy existed at this time? Does this make sense?
No, I know exactly. I'm right with you. Yeah.
It's not as though we are creating or experiencing something different in the sense that like we are just contributing to a greater whole, which, by the way, does bring up an important topic, which is not spooky at all, and that is to remember that we're all connected.
Yeah.
We're all the same. We're all the same shit.
It's everything's we almost exactly, unless there's some kind of, medical issue, are the same.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? Like
in one respect or another, we're all connected.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's something like, yeah. And of course, like, you know, you make a copy of a copy and shit gets fucked up sometimes.
But I will say this, to piggyback off of your point, the same idea of like the plane of existence idea, where I've gone from where I know that people, you cannot argue with someone's experience. Like unless they're inebriated,
yeah.
or something, you know what I'm saying? Like unless there's some kind of like weird thing where like, well, I had just gotten hit in the head really hard,
right?
And I was driving down the road, and it's like, okay.
But how does that not make their experience as real as your observed experience? Their experience is what it is.
It's skewed.
It is. But so is all of ours,
right?
Right. The same thing that I watched the skinwalker cross the street. I can't tell you that it was a skinwalker.
Right.
I can't tell you that it was a deer.
But yeah, I can't. I also can't tell you what the fuck it was.
Exactly.
And that's the thing is when you drive and when you spend so many days on this earth, being able to identify so many different things, everything you experience in the day, it's truly remarkable. The amount of time it takes for you to comprehend exactly what's going on. Like, and that's the thing. It's,
sure
it's work done. You know
fair
what I'm
enough.
Saying? Like,
fair
it's
enough.
Very much so. So when you see that and you're like, dear. And you're like, get that thing. That's the moment where you're like, what was this? And that's why I think they stick out so much. So yes, when you have video evidence of something and somebody goes like,
fake,
it you got to understand it looks fake because how did you know to record this? How, you know what I mean? Like all
right,
this other
shit.
Right. Like there's so many questions that I ask that
right.
I'm like, what? How'd you know? Like, there's so many times where like it's so unrelatable, but when it's just somebody's story, when it's somebody's personal experience,
yeah, right,
it's so hard to discount that because like why I've personally experienced it,
right.
And I don't want to sit here and go like, oh yeah, it was not a nightmare.
Right,
I've had nightmares plenty of times. I've had lucid dreams. I've had
right.
I've done that shit. I know. I know what I did. Right, I know what happened. Right.
Well, here's the interesting.
But I don't know what happened.
But I don't know what happened. Here's the interesting question, though, too, because you brought it up just a moment ago, and this is one that like really like kind of like fucks with my head, and that is, you ever see those things where like they write the stuff out and then they leave out the letters and then your brain fills in the blanks?
Yeah.
Okay.
I call it the Pat effect.
We're left to like fill in the blanks all the time. And what if you've observed more bizarre things than you realize because your brain just filled in the blanks? So you're like, yeah, that's a deer. But it wasn't a deer.
Yeah.
But you're like, no, it was a deer. I saw, you know, for instance, it's fascinating to see if you've ever witnessed any of those like studies where people are like, they have to observe a scene and then repeat what they saw, and they're almost always wrong.
Yeah.
Like, human memory and your mind is completely flawed.
Right.
Your memory is flawed.
Right.
It's influenced by so many other things. And so many of the blanks are filled in by things that you've related to other things or learned as a system of thought over time.
Yeah.
How many things have you guys witnessed that were probably not what you thought you saw in the first place?
It's almost like how you're constantly looking at the tip of your nose, but your brain just ignores it. No, that's true. That's 100% true.
Yeah.
If you close one eye, you're always looking at your nose.
Right.
It's always there. It's always right there.
Right.
You can.
I'm doing it right now.
But that's the thing is, if that was the truth, you would go insane.
Right.
But the parallel, the weird thing about like going like to sleep and dreaming and going into these other states of consciousness,
sure,
or whatever it may be, the same idea of the energy idea is kind of how I feel like maybe that's what ghosts are.
Right.
Is essentially that energy going to another plane of existence. And what we do when we dream is we visit those planes of existence and we haunt them. So when we're having a dream where we're like, I'm in school and I have no pants on, everybody's like, what the fuck is going on?
Why is that guy not have pants
on? Why is that guy not have pants on? Who is that?
You are. That is a fascinating thought, that you are part of somebody else's dream
or nightmare. When they're here.
When it's me, it's always a dream.
Right. It's always a dream. But when they're here, when they're haunting us, is just when they're sleeping on their plane of existence.
Right, right. Look, this is what happens when you give two idiots a microphone, free rein on whatever they want to do in their own podcast.
It's the unexplained. This is legitimately, this is one of the most compelling things. It's spooky season, and we're talking about spirits, baby.
And we're talking about some spooky shit.
God damn it.
Yeah.
What happens to energy, man?
God damn it, Pat.
God damn it.
God damn it, Pat. What happened to the energy?
I ain't going to pray about it either. No. Darn it.
Darn it. So... interesting. Yeah. Well, it's, you know, in the world of like, because dreams are like, the sleeping time is always like a precarious moment for me. I'm not a great sleeper.
Right. Same.
When I sleep pretty heavily, but getting to sleep or, you know, staying asleep is difficult for me. I think getting to sleep is probably more difficult than anything else. I've been much better about it over the last several years, not least of which because we trained so much in the mornings. And by the time 4 p.m. rolls around, I'm ready for bed.
Jeff hated sleep so much. Yeah, actually, that's true. That is, if you're having like sleeping problems, exhaust yourself.
Yeah, exhaust. right. But don't push too far, because if you push too far, then you can't sleep again because you're so exhausted that you're...
Try it out.
You get that second, you know...
See if that works. If it doesn't work for you, just make sure you drink plenty of water.
Yeah, and coffee. So interestingly enough, like I've over the last several years, I mean, I could certainly point to specific things, especially in childhood, where I've had like reoccurring or repeating nightmares that were very strange because they seemed very real at the time.
Right.
But I've noticed in my recent years as an adult that I've been having these what appear to be like sleep paralysis moments.
Sleep paralysis. That's what I was trying to think of earlier.
You think about sleep paralysis.
I was trying to think of like, it's like partial sleep. Somebody tried to explain it to me as being partial sleep paralysis.
Yeah. Right. And that would be, I would think, akin to what I'm experiencing.
Right.
However, the thing that's fucked up about it is that there's always somebody in the room with me and I'm not paralyzed in the sense that, like, for folks that have suffered with sleep paralysis before, they cannot move at all. They're just witness to whatever horror is in their head.
Usually a man in a black hat.
It's true. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Have you seen the documentary about this?
I've heard about it. And it's so
a great,
nuts.
It's a great documentary.
Shadow
you
people
watch it.
To me are like the closest thing to what I'm talking about. Like them just kind of like phasing into our, like how there's holes in the ozone.
Right, right.
There might be holes. No, I'm serious.
I'm listening.
Legitimately, this was a movie idea I had that was going to call Hole Zone. And essentially, like, the same idea of, like, a guy interrupt, like, figures out that they, like, oh yeah, there's a way to the afterlife. It's just there's a hole in the continuum, essentially.
Right.
And same idea.
And their afterlife is just their life, and now
The man in the black hat. Sorry, I digress.
No. It's sleep paralysis. If you guys are not familiar with sleep paralysis, there so many people that suffer with sleep paralysis experience very similar things,
yes,
to the extent that it's creepy and fucking terrifying. Weird. Yeah. It's terrifying. But I've had, even as of 2 nights ago, because we have, again, with this puppy, we have the dog sleeps on the floor next to my wife, but she's up a lot, taking the dog out to the bathroom, or then she'll end up sleeping downstairs because then all the dogs can be with her and nobody's fussing and she can just get to bed. So I've been waking up a lot lately without anybody in the room, no dogs, no wife, and that doesn't freak me out. However, I woke up the other night and I can't, it feels like I'm in that phase between sleep and being awake.
Yeah.
And I kid you not, there was somebody sitting on the bed right next to me, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, now, I don't know how you guys feel, but we all have a freeze response. And I just don't have, like, for whatever reason, my brain does not flight.
Yeah, it's immediately, I'm going to kick this guy.
Yeah, I'm going to I'm going to go. Like, and then maybe that's one of the reasons why I don't sleep so well, because now my heart rate, my blood pressure's up. I'm like,
I would not be able to go to sleep after
that. Yeah, it's difficult.
Yeah.
It's difficult. But I've recognized that it's happening a lot more, you know, like that it happens, and it's something that I can just like settle myself back down and realize that it wasn't real. But for that moment, for that 5 seconds or whatever it is.
Because you feel them on the bed.
Yeah, it's really weird. And they're either right next to me, or they're right in my face, like where I'm like opening my eyes and I'm like, and it takes a moment because you look at it and you're like, that's a person.
But it's a paralysis thing.
Yeah, you can't.
Because that's the thing. It's like, dude, it's
weird.
The most terrifying, to me, one of the most terrifying mental illnesses aside from, like, no, I mean, I'm serious. Like, whatever it may be, whatever, it's like a chemical imbalance in your brain.
Yeah.
There's something, you might want to switch how you're sleeping too.
I wouldn't call it a mental illness though.
Okay. I mean, if your chemicals are off in your body, it's an illness.
I understand what you're saying.
You're mentally ill. Is that what I'm saying?
Okay.
Am I saying that wrong?
Let's just go with it. All right. I'm mentally ill. Go ahead.
But no, I was saying, like, how do you normally sleep? Are you a back sleeper or side
sleeper? I'm not.
Sleeper?
I'm a side sleeper.
Maybe try sleeping on your back. Actually, okay. No, I've heard that's worse.
Yeah, no, when I sleep on my back, I snore, and then I'm a terrible human to be with.
I don't know, man. Get a CPAP, bro. do you want to? Because that's terrifying. That's the worst. This is the worst case scenario. Waking up,
Pat,
in the middle of the night.
Pat.
Seeing somebody.
Pat.
Anybody in your face.
Pat.
Family.
A CPAP?
Yeah.
I still want to get laid, man.
I don't know. Your wife downstairs sleeping with a dog. Just take a night off and put your fucking face mask on and get a nice sleep. Because to me, there is, it terrifies me to just discuss sleep paralysis at all, because I'm so terrified of that happening.
Yeah.
In general.
What if you manifest it by talking about it?
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if this is the case. If it's traditional sleep paralysis, if you wake up in that scenario, you have the fight's sense, but you're not able to.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
right.
So you see somebody sitting in front of your
face,
and you can't move, and you don't go, ah!
Yeah, no, there's no, like, right now, it feels like this. It feels like you can feel, like, you returning to yourself.
Right.
And so it, like, boils until you're, like, and then when you go ready to jump, when you have, like, when
you,
you're
like,
no
gain
longer.
You, like, the courage. You're like, I'm going to fuck. Is that? And then you're, like.
And then, right, by the time you're ready to move, it's gone. Right? So, like, it certainly has something to do with the fact that you're in that stage between being asleep and being awake. Whatever that world is, it's for whatever reason, why can't it just be something pleasant?
And why can't it one time be a puppy?
Yeah, one
why
time.
Why can't it be a dog in your face going, it licks your face?
I've had enough of that shit, too.
That would be your horror.
Yeah, exactly. The dog's eating all of our birth certificates.
But I guess to say, so I guess what we should do is, Jeff, it may not be you.
Okay.
It may be your house. Your puppy might be possessed.
It might be.
This might be. We might need an exorcist to to compel the Christ to fucking for that dog or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember what the Christ
dog
compels you or something.
Yeah.
Slap it in some face with some holy water.
Yeah.
Or dip it. Just dunk the dog.
Hold it underwater.
Yeah.
under the, because
that'll, for a little bit,
because that'll guarantee that we cleanse it insides and outsides.
Oh, you're right. That's a good point. You're right. I was gonna say fill. I'm his with do- this. I was gonna say fill his dish with holy water, but you're right. That's quicker.
It's way far quicker. Far more efficient.
Get a pressure washer. Why don't they ever? By the way, in Exorcist movies,
yeah.
Why don't they ever have a lot of holy water?
It's like it's like this little bottle.
They're always like this, and they're always like,
look,
why don't they just go like a pressure washer and go?
Yeah, great point.
What
I mean,
the fuck?
The first time that you
that
have
would
to
hurt
do,
a person.
Exactly. The first time you do an exorcism, you're like, damn, I didn't bring enough holy water.
Yeah, whoops.
But the second time, the third time,
all I got is this thermo flask of holy water. It's like, that's still a lot, but
yeah.
I mean, you could get.
I mean, you could get holy water in gallon jugs.
I'm just saying. I just thought of that. Like, if you gotta, you might have to. But I would like to do, if your wife permits and your family, the rest of the kids, I don't care. They have to do what you say.
Right.
But if your family, your wife permits, and the dogs,
I'm listening.
I would love to do an episode at your house. Possibly even a seance.
Okay, we'll
Ouija board.
We'll set it up for the next episode.
In your bed.
Yeah, and by the way, since we'll get off this topic and
under the covers, Jeff. I'll set the camera up.
But
at
you
the
have
base.
To be just how you normally sleep.
Yeah, I have to film you when you sleep, Jeff.
Okay.
I wake up in your face. I'm like, are you still sleeping? Hey, is that macaroni in the fridge okay for everybody?
Was that just yours or is that for everyone?
Can I have that? Go back to sleep.
If you get the chance to listen to this episode, then you know, give us some spooky stories to read on the next podcast.
Yeah, this will be coming out before Halloween official, but this is officially our Halloween episode. So you got spooky stories, pound off in the comments.
Yeah, give us the spooky story. We'll read the spooky story on the podcast. We have over, at this point, 8,000 listeners or something like that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a hefty margin. So
yeah,
I feel
that's
like
a lot of folks that are around the world listening to your spooky stories.
And if none of you have had experiences, maybe we're just insane.
Well, I'm mentally ill.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I really do. I was trying to think of a chemical imbalance. I don't know. Mentally ill. That's what my dog had. She had all that Lexapro. off brand Lexapro, by the way.
It wasn't even like it was. Like,
store brand. Albertson's brand Lexapro. Shout out to Lexapro. Kept me alive. But Jeff.
Yeah.
Well, even though it's spooky, I guess we could probably still talk about what's happening in the world of jiu-jitsu.
So the thing that I want to contribute to the world of jiu-jitsu today is, if you guys are not familiar with Albino and Prieto, it's a brand, it's a jiu-jitsu brand. Mm-hmm. You would recognize it by the A and P logo.
Okay.
They make fine jiu-jitsu apparel and gis, okay? They have partnered with Nike Skateboarding, and they've come out with their own dunks, their own skate shoes, and it's incredible because they wear away as you skate them to the different, you know, the different ranks of jiu-jitsu. So from, you know, white to black.
Ah.
And they come with five sets of laces, so for, you know, white, blue, purple, brown, black.
That's awesome.
It's pretty rad.
Are you going to get some?
I want to, yeah.
Or is this a subtle hint? Because also, after Halloween, guys?
It's Christmas.
It's Christmas time.
Yeah.
And Jeff's been a good boy this year.
I have been very good. They're like $138. So I have like a hard time spending that kind of money on shoes I'll like tear up.
Give them the misfits.
Yeah.
I think if it's $138, I think all the punk rockers out there should pool up their money by old Jeff.
That's right.
Shoes,
because we are $138.
Yeah. See, you got the reference. That's really cool. That's awesome. I like the blend too.
Well, see, it's
perfect
really,
for you.
It is, and it's like we're always ahead of the curve.
And Rick.
And Ricky. Yep, we're always ahead of the curve, man.
Always ahead of the curb.
Curb.
We have a good time.
Yeah, we do have a good time. I like the. It is. It's fascinating to me because I've seen a lot of the connections between, again, we're all this stuff is connected in one form or another, but it's usually what anchors us to like doing these things. But I just thought it was fascinating that finally there is some very serious acknowledgement that there is like a connection between jujitsu and skateboarding.
Yeah. Besides you.
Besides me. Right.
Right. That's awesome. Hell right. Yeah. Well, that brings me to a little story that I shared a little information with you earlier, but it's by
by all means.
The news coming in for old Patty Boy for the World of Jiu-Jitsu today is from Mr. Craig Jones of the B Team.
Yes, you may be familiar with Craig Jones of the B Team. He was once of the Danaher Death Squad. Mm-hmm. There was a split. Mm-hmm. He is the proprietor of Mexican Ground Karate.
He got the Rodriguez crew.
He did get the
he got the Rodriguez brothers in the in the divorce.
Yeah.
But no, I saw a fun thing. He also is Volkanovski, who is the featherweight world champion right at the moment.
Right,
is going to be competing last minute. So this is news.
Yeah.
That is going to be coming up. So this is very interesting. Volkanovski stepped in short notice, under 2 weeks' notice, to fight Islam Makhachev for the lightweight title to try to become the double champ.
Yeah.
And at lightweight, because Charles Oliveira got an injury, got a cut over his eye, he's not able to compete.
Right.
Craig Jones, the reason I bring him up is because he is Volkanovski's jiu-jitsu coach. And possibly one of the reasons, aside from Volkanovski's insane athleticism, that he made it a really, really great competitive fight. And I do highly suggest, it's free on YouTube right now. Watch the first fight because this rematch is going to be a banger.
Yeah.
But he's got some things to say about a certain discipline, and I love that he's fighting back.
So Mr. Craig Jones has something to say about this. And what is, do you want to, how do you want to handle this?
I'll include the picture here, and I'll read the quote here. We've heard about catch wrestling. We've heard about Sambo. We've never seen it work. You know what I mean? Like, if Islam gets a submission, that's a jiu-jitsu submission. If he gets a takedown, that's a judo takedown. If he shoots a double leg, that's a wrestling move. So for me, where's the Sambo? Sambo is a myth. It doesn't exist. And I agree.
I agree as well.
So I wanted to get your thoughts on that that developing fucking shot fired.
I'm particularly impressed that it's Craig Jones that did it, because it's for those of you that know Craig Jones and his sort of his attitude about...
He's usually to quote a British saying, taking a piss. Taking a piss. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
He's fucking around.
He is fucking around.
But
and it's in good fun, and he is a serious jiu-jitsu practitioner, and he clearly cares a lot about it.
Yeah.
But I think that's, you know, shots fired on, you know, Sambo and catch wrestling, because I don't disagree with him.
Yeah.
I think he's right. Yeah. I think that, you know, there's always going to be the, you know, the art that sort of puts it all together and is the thing. And then everybody takes pieces of it and they're like, no, it's not. Jiu-jitsu's for losers.
Right.
I actually had a guy that called about taking classes at the gym, and he was interested in mixed martial arts. Awesome. We have a mixed martial arts program.
Yeah,
you know, you don't have to take jiu-jitsu and judo classes at our gym to be part of the MMA program. However, if you want us to sign off on your fights, we require you to take jiu-jitsu and judo as well. So, and this guy, you know, gave me this razzmatazz, this huge long story about how he's like this. He used to be a fighter, and, you know, they're all...
They're all
underground fighters with 10-2 records. You can't find them on the internet. But anyway, all that to say is that one of the things that he had mentioned was that, you know, he had done jiu-jitsu before, and like he felt like he was way better than everybody at jiu-jitsu, so he's not interested in doing it anymore.
Yeah,
he wants something more challenging with mixed martial arts.
Yeah,
and I'm like, motherfucker, like, do you not know? Like, first of all, your coach and coaches are brown and black belts in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Like,
By the way, I was just going to say that the double osh that you showed today, the side oshi, the thing that, like, I was like, after I get to this point, I kept going like this. I'm like, oh, this would be a great hammer fist.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, but the way you're going to get there is jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It goes back to jiu-jitsu.
It's going
to
be jiu-jitsu,
it's
right?
Always jiu-jitsu.
Right, so you're training these things. I agree with Craig Jones. The idea that, like, jiu-jitsu is some sort of, like, you know, level below real fighting is completely insane.
Yeah, Sambo is just other grappling without the pants.
They took their pants off, guys.
Just like, hey, we like jiu-jitsu, but what's with all the pants, guys? What a bunch of dorks.
I was like, I mean, these pants are really inconvenient.
Yeah, and they wear those puffy... Don't they even have puffy gloves on and everything? It's like, it's cool. It's a cool discipline. Don't they have that?
No.
Isn't that Sambo?
Maybe. I don't know.
It's exactly. Nobody
I've never seen. I've never seen them wearing puffy gloves.
But I feel this is a direct... a retaliation to the shirt that, if you remember, I brought it up that when we were talking earlier. Khabib wore.
Yeah.
If he says if Sambo was easy, they would call it jujitsu.
Right.
And I remember him wearing that, and I'm like, oh, that's funny. Okay.
Right.
Okay, we'll see. Yeah. So I love the dedication that I'm seeing. I love the teams sparring with each other. Yeah, like this is a great fight, and I can't wait to see this.
Yeah, it'll be a great fight. And you know, and to this end, and then we'll move on. As we hear it all the time that, you know, jiu-jitsu is this, jiu-jitsu is that, jiu-jitsu is for, you know, losers. It's like, you know, it doesn't work, blah blah blah. And jiu-jitsu has its time period where like people who are not disciplined in jiu-jitsu but use jiu-jitsu against jiu-jitsu practitioners are like, see, jiu-jitsu doesn't work. Yeah. I always think that's funny. Yeah. But the other thing is that jiu-jitsu though will always come back up on top. It's always like,
yeah.
No pun intended,
right.
but it's always like it's always makes its way back. Why? Why does, is that? Yeah. Because it's jiu-jitsu. You're doing
those funny things that like Derek Lewis, like we were talking about, joking about how he says jiu-jitsu doesn't work on him or something like that.
Right.
Most of the get-ups he's doing are jiu-jitsu get-ups.
Right.
Like it's still jiu-jitsu, guys.
Right.
He's using jiu-jitsu.
Right.
Bryce Mitchell, everybody was losing their fucking shit because he got on Dan Ige's back from like full guard, and it's like, yeah, like you can see what he's doing. It's just grappling. It's not magic. It's grappling. It's jiu-jitsu.
Right. He's doing jiu-jitsu.
It's incredible.
Right. Right.
But it is also,
and it works.
Just jiu-jitsu. Yeah, it works. And also, by the way, Dan Ige said he doesn't remember anything past the second round. So like, so it's like one of those things of like, he was also out of it. He doesn't remember Bryce Mitchell bringing a Bible out or trying to pray with him or anything like that. Guys, it's not sorcery. It's jiu-jitsu. You can learn it.
You can learn it.
And all you have to do is
ask a black belt.
I have a question from a young man named Joel asks, what the hell is finger tape for?
Okay, finger.
I think, honestly, Joel, by the way, Joel, I think you kind of answered your own question. You know what I'm saying? You said.
Yeah, when the question was asked on air.
What is finger tape? It's tape for your finger.
It's tape for your fingers.
But.
Okay. So when you want to look like you know jiu-jitsu but don't, then you tape your fingers.
That's true. I need frames in my hands.
I don't know specifically what started the finger tape trend, but for a long time, finger tape was like a huge thing. Now, I appreciate that there are practitioners of a variety of grappling arts, including judo and so forth, that will tape their fingers for the protection of their like top knuckles and stuff like that when they're gripping gis and so forth. It's an irritant. You know, gripping gis is an irritant. There are those that will suggest that taping like your fingers helps with arthritic, tendon stretching and so forth.
Maybe it's mind over matter, but I will say I have had success with that. Like if my hands are sore or if I hurt a finger or something like that, or like you getting a lot of grips, that does sometimes. But also, so does just making grips a lot of times.
Right.
Strengthen your hands.
Yeah, right.
Like legitimately.
Like it's now there are going to be a variety of people that will tape fingers together because they've injured a finger. That's different. That's that finger tape is there to protect that finger from getting separated. And then, of course, you know, hyperextending
more
it again.
More separated.
More separated or problematic.
Yeah.
But the majority of like the finger tape trend was just because it looked cool.
It does. And it still does.
And they're like, man, that guy must grapple a lot.
Yeah.
He has finger tape on.
I primarily use finger tape to keep Band-Aids on my hand.
Sometimes that's used. Yeah. Sometimes like I have like a gnarled, like you guys can't see it on there, but I have that came from a nail.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. I have a gnarly like
clip your nails, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Make sure you clip your nails. I have a gnarly, it's a deep one too. It's a super deep cut on my finger and I tape my finger so that with a Band-Aid on so you guys don't So I'm not exposed to your disgusting bacteria.
Your diseases.
Yeah.
But yeah, essentially it's the to look cool. But also I will say the frame, like the if you've sprained your finger or something like that, sometimes like that helps. But again, I it might just be mind over matter in that case, but
yeah, I think it is just mind over matter. And we are like we're in a sport, so like the or at least a component of sport. And so like when you're there's never you can never use too much tape, so you just tape I've taped so many things on my body for a variety of reasons, some of which has like been very effective and worked, and some of it is like maybe it didn't do anything except for pull the hair out of my arm. That's after a,
I've hurt myself more with the also Jeff, I think you're forgetting one.
What
else is finger tape for?
Oh, the most important part of finger tape is Pat's penis, because he was pointing at it.
Promotions, Jeff. Come on.
I knew it was promotions. I knew it was promotions. Yeah.
Get your mental illness out of the gutter.
Finger tape for most of us is meant as a symbol of your progress in jiu-jitsu as we tape your next rank to your belt.
One more question. Guess from who? Little Miss Casey.
Oh, Casey's at it again.
She's got not only a joke, but a question.
Okay. I'm with it.
How many black guys have you had? Also, black guys. Just kidding. She's kidding about that. How many black eyes have you
had? How many black eyes have I had?
Yes.
A lot.
At least two.
At least two.
Just suck them in the nose. You get both of them.
Yeah. A lot.
Yeah.
I mean, more than I can count.
It's insane. From my personal experience, how many times I've gotten kneed in the head or the eye or the nose.
It happens all the time.
It just happens all the time.
Yeah, it happens all the time. Where you get cracked in the eye. I got cracked in the eye by Joe Stetter. Shout out Joe Stetter the other day, and it was a complete accident. You know, it happens. One time, and Shannon will remember this, unfortunately, because it's probably ingrained in her memory banks forever.
Oh, she had one of those.
Oh, I bitch slapped her. Yeah, I mean, like, it was like full on open palm, like whack, like in the side of the face, like.
Yeah.
It was an accident, but or was it?
Yeah, and you're going for a head tie.
I don't remember. I don't remember what caused. I don't think it was a backhand. I think it was a forward slap.
Yeah,
the backhand would have been even worse. But it was. I felt really bad.
Yeah,
those types of things happen all the time. Where like you take a knee to the head. You take my worst black eye I ever had was I got kicked in the eye by a heel.
Oof. Yeah. Those are
rare. It was actually a chopping, like, hit me in the...
Yeah, that happens a lot when, like,
I passed that motherfucking guard, though.
Yeah. That's one of those things. Well, it's also more motivating.
It is. And that's just, again, we were talking about my flight, fight, or freeze response. And when I get injured or hurt or, like, you know, even if it's not intentional, when most of the time it's not intentional, like something went wrong, I just get angry.
Yeah, and if you see that fucking that dark man or whatever your shadow creature sitting at the edge of the mats, you're gonna pull his ass. I can move here, motherfucker.
That's right. yeah. So a lot of black eyes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You see a lot of black eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god.
Yep.
Your night terrors and your mental illness.
I know.
Great questions this week, but I wanted to say. I always put out there on the socials or, I have people reaching DM me sometimes, email me. You can email at babymermaidproductions@gmail.com. That's babymermaidproductions@gmail.com. I would like people, if you'd wish, and you could be featured on the show, send in a video question.
Yeah, we'll play it on this show.
If you got a personal question, like maybe there's a ponderance that you don't even know how to explain, you just say, Jeff, what is this? Or you can say, hi, Casey here. I'd like to ask you a question. Go ahead. We want to hear you. We want to see you. We want to interact with you folks, and we want you to send in some video questions for Ask a Black Belt. Yeah. So that way we can you see us every week. We want to see you.
Yeah. I want to feel you because I'm mentally ill.
Yeah, so send in your videos or questions with for Ask a Black Belt. You can email them, you can DM anything like that. Baby Mermaid Productions on all the socials.
Yeah.
Go ahead and send them away.
Send them on in.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Good. Good. You know what, Pat?
What? What? Out with it.
What's on your turntable, Pat?
It's been a real doozy lately. Obviously. obviously, it's still a lot of Mutoid Man. I'm still still getting into those
I think
guys.
Bleeder is my favorite one so far.
Yeah, mine too. Is it? I will say,
Okay.
I said Warmones earlier.
Yeah.
And I could get each one of them is a little bit, but is that one is like perfect.
Good, but listen, guys, like Pat turned me on to Mutoid Man last week in the podcast, and as soon as I got in the car, I started listening to him. I listened to the first record, and then we had a conversation yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
We talked about Mutoid Man, and there's something very strange going on. And it could, again, it could just be the moon cycles, animals, skinwalkers, Mutoid Man. It's working.
Yeah, it's working.
Okay.
Yeah.
So listen to Mutoid Man. All the records have a lot of like similarities in terms of like how they produce and create music. However, each one of the records also has its own vibe, its own
complete
like
own vibe. Yeah.
Its own vibe. And so we've been discussing now that we've gone through the catalog, you know, which is our favorites. And it's nice too because it's hard to pick.
Yeah. It really is. Like I said, one day.
But if I had to, I think Bleeder would be.
I thought for some reason there's four complete albums completely. But I'm still of the mindset that I think it's Bleeder, Mutants.
Which is their new one.
Which is the newest one.
Right.
It's also what they call their fans, which I really like that.
What is it?
They call them mutants.
Oh, mutants. Yeah.
You mutants ready. Like all this other, it's pretty, like, again, I love the whole feature of it. I'm a big production guy and they put on a great show. I've been watching live videos of them. So honestly, to tell you, it's still a lot of Mutoid Man, but if I were to recommend anything else, I will say that I've been listening to a lot of Capra. Capra has, so I know I've mentioned Capra before, but I wanted to update everybody. Much like Mutoid Man, I can only suggest this band at the highest regard for anybody that likes heavy music. There, and it is getting rave reviews. Like I'm seeing, like I'm not just the only one. Yeah,
yeah.
It's crazy the reception it's getting. I'm really, really excited for them. I actually went to their website. I wanted to get some shirts, some merch from them, but they were sold out. I'm so happy to see that for a band that's like somewhat newer, that's still growing and still learning a lot.
Right.
I highly suggest everybody to check out Capra's new release, Errors. It's very, very well done.
I'm gonna write it down right now.
Hell yeah. It is. I think they just released something either a year or two ago, like another full-length album. I can't remember the exact date, but even just from this one album, there's so much growth that I'm seeing. And I don't mean that to sound like condescending not condescending, but like a pretentious.
Yeah, yeah.
It is just pure art. In the sense that, like, of hardcore music.
Right.
Like, classic hardcore music.
Okay.
I really love, like, that just, like, one guitar, one bass. The fucking lead singer is a chick.
Yeah.
Crow Lotus, one of the coolest fucking names.
Yeah,
her fucking name.
Yeah.
Crow Lotus.
You got named Pat.
Yeah. Pat. Hi, I'm Pat George.
We can talk about my farts now.
You know what I mean? Like that's what I do on stage. She goes up there and fucking rips it, dude.
Yeah.
There's a song featuring the lead singer of Walls of Jericho. I'm sorry, I can't remember her name right off the top of my head, but she's featured on this album as well. So lots of fucking girl power from Capra.
Yeah,
but also a lot of fucking shit kicking music, dude.
Yeah, perfect.
There is an instant pint classic that is the second to last song on there. Obligatory Existence is the name of the song.
Okay.
Highly recommend.
Ooh.
Luke, I know you're listening. Check that song out.
Yeah. Good, good. Yeah. I love it, man.
But what about you, man?
Well, I've got two things. Like one is because I want to add onto girl power for you.
Yeah.
And that is because I actually was on my turntable a couple weeks ago, and it was so difficult to decide which one I want to introduce because –
Yeah.
As you guys are aware, we don't just listen to one band during the week and then talk about it on the podcast. We listen to all kinds of stuff during the week. But standouts, speaking of female lead singers and hardcore, Open City. If you've not listened to Open City, do yourself a favor and listen to Open City. So Dan Yeaman, who is the lead of Paint It Black, also was in Lifetime and also Kid Dynamite and... You know, now Painted Black also has a band called Open City where he plays guitar. He doesn't sing in the band, but they have a female lead singer, and it's incredible music.
Yeah.
Listen to Open City, guys. You want some fucking raw-ass, like, female rage, like, ripping it, like, vocal style. Like, It's tough, man.
It's, and it's not.
It's good music too. Great lyrics, terrific.
Right. Yeah. And it's not good. Like the thing that, and I always say this, like it sucks because when it comes to things like non, like traditionally roles that you normally don't see women in,
yeah,
like as a lead singer of a hardcore band,
right?
And I'm saying like traditionally, as far as like the overall number of hardcore bands,
right.
It's usually
right.
dudes that look like me or you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So, and I don't mean this to say to take anything away from, like, she's not good for a girl singer. She's one of the greatest hardcore lead singers.
Just
like,
a great hardcore lead
yeah,
singer. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like, I, the only reason I bring that up is just because I want to give her credit.
Yeah,
just as like Crow Lotus is one of the coolest fucking names.
It's pretty fucking good. Even,
I don't care if she made it up or it's real. Whether your parents are hippies or not.
Yeah.
If it's you made it up, it's cool. It's one of those cool. You could either be a hippie or a hardcore singer.
I'm glad that you chose the latter.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So Open City is another one. I'm excited to check them.
Yeah, out. Yeah, check them out. Listen to Open City. I'm just going to skip the other one because I want to save it for the next podcast.
Oh,
it's a, it's an important one. It's a very important album or band.
Yeah.
And I'll get into all the weeds in the next podcast because it's not what you think.
You know, I love weeds.
And I will. Yeah. And I'll. And.
Mental illness.
And tape for your penis.
Yeah, that's true.